father, Yisroel Shmuel Aryeh Lieb, and Yisroel Shmuel ben Aryeh Lieb. So I'm going to start us off with a traditional prayer that is said when you are commemorating the Yahrzeit. And we'll get started with, let's see if I have the right one. Yes.
Amen.
What an incredible rendition of Kaddish. I don't think I've ever heard it like that before or since. Thanks so much to Bruce Berger suggesting that. And this is his artistry. This is a prayer that affirms. This is when somebody is lost to the community, it's a loss for everybody. And so it doesn't say anything about death in this prayer. It says we affirm, you know, our holiness. The community joins in and says, yes, yes, we affirm. So, okay, now it's just a little bit of glow left in the sky. So this is a wonderful book, The Spiritual Significance of the Ketoret by Avraham Sutton, who lives in the Holy Land. And he wrote this in 2002. And it's quite technical and quite detailed. I'll share little bits and pieces because it's long, but I'm not going to share all of it, just to give you a taste. So this section is called The Anointing Oil and the Ketoret. In the Torah, we find the commandment concerning the Ketoret immediately following that of the anointing oil. God spoke to Moshe, saying, take the finest spices, 500 shekels of distilled myrrh, two half portions, each containing 250 shekels of fragrant cinnamon and 250 shekels of fragrant cane, and 500 shekels of cassia, all measured by the sanctuary standard, along with a hin of olive oil. Make it into shemen mishchat kodesh, sacred anointing oil. Blend it into a compound made by a master perfumer. Aha, so here's the connection. Our family name is Rokeach. My father's family name is Rokeach. And that is a perfumer, one who combines the spices. Thus the connection of why I'm sharing this. So blend it into a compound as made by a master perfumer for the sacred anointing oil. With it, blend the communion, anoint the communion tent, the Ark of the Testimony, the table and all its utensils, the menorah and its utensils, the incense altar, the elevation altar and all its utensils, the washstand and its base. Sanctify them thus, giving them the highest degree of holiness, Kodesh Kadashim, so that anything that touching them becomes sanctified. Anoint Aaron and his sons as well, sanctifying them to serve me. Speak to the children of Israel and tell them, this shall be the sacred anointing oil, sanctified to me for all your generations. Do not pour it on the skin of any unauthorized person. Do not duplicate it with a similar formula. It is holy and it must remain sacred to you. If a person blends a similar formula or places it on an unauthorized person, he shall be cut off spiritually from his people. That's from Exodus. Immediately the Torah continues. Go, said Moshe, take for yourself spices, balsam, ancha, galbanum, as well as other specified spices, and pure frankincense, equal amounts of each. Grind each spice separately, and then blend them together as a ketoret compound, the work of a master perfumer, this Rokeach again, well blended, free of all impurity and holy. Pulverize a small portion of the ketoret daily, and place it on the golden altar before the Ark of Testimony in the communion tent where I commune with you. It shall have the highest degree of holiness for you, Kodesh Kadashim. With regard to the ketoret, you are to make, do not duplicate its formula for your personal use. It must remain separate and set aside for God. If a person makes it to enjoy its fragrance, he shall be cut off spiritually from his people. Now, something from King Solomon. He wrote, oil and ketoret make the heart rejoice. It's in Proverbs. A number of things stand out. First, the juxtaposition. The anointing oil and the ketoret are incredibly connected with each other. The Torah lists four main ingredients for both. The oil was made of equal proportions of myrrh, cinnamon, cannabesum, fragrant cane, sweet calamus or cinnamon bark, and cassia. The ketoret contained equal proportions of nataf balsam, the shchelet, ancha, cherbina, galbanum, and levona zaka, pure frankincense. Although there is considerable difference of opinion regarding the actual identities of these spices, there is no question that the oil and the ketoret are intimately connected with each other. As we shall see, the ketoret contains another 7 ingredients, but these are only implied in the Torah and are only explicitly designated in the oral tradition. Among these 7, we find myrrh, that's myrrh, and cassia, as well as 3 spices, which are taken from different parts of the cinnamon plant. The second thing we see from the above passages is that the oil and the ketoret are both extremely holy. Holy in Hebrew is kodesh. When something is kodesh, it is to be set aside and kept separate. It then has the power to sanctify and elevate everything around it. This is the idea behind Shabbat Kodesh, the Holy Sabbath. It is the ultimate sanctuary in time, set aside from the rest of the days of the week, yet constantly elevating them into itself and then overflowing back into them. So it goes into a lot more detail, but I want to go to a section that talks about the sphere, no, not the sphere and the ketoret spices. Let me go. This is, as I said, this is very technical and detailed. Okay, so the angel of death, Rabbi Kaplan. This is Aryeh Kaplan from Inner Space. The Talmud in Shabbos 89a teaches that Moshe was taught the mystery of the incense by the angel of death. The angel of death had revealed to Moshe that the ketoret has the power to nullify any evil decree, even that of death. It is for this reason that when a plague broke out among the Israelites in the wilderness, Moshe ordered Aaron to walk through the camp with the incense. Aaron took the incense pan as Moshe had commanded him. He offered the incense to atone for the people, and the plague was checked in Numbers. From here we see that the 11 perfumes have the power to overcome death and evil. Why does ketoret overcome death and evil? Where does it get this power? It gets it from the fact that the grinding of the spices for the ketoret parallels the shattering and death of the original sephirot. These are containers of God's light that stepped down from the intense light that we couldn't handle until we come to a material that we could actually live in the world. The original sephirot were light with a slight admixture of darkness, quote-unquote. That darkness could not manifest as full-fledged evil until the light itself was broken down into tiny photon packets or microchips. That breakdown of the light is called death and darkness, the ultimate concealment of God's light. But the ketoret, in the very way it is made, and especially in the number and nature of its ingredients, has the power to overcome death and darkness and completely transform all evil in ourselves and in the world into good. Now, we don't have the temple today. So what is this about? This is part of our prayers, because the prayers are replacing what used to take place in the temple. And so many people in their morning prayers include this. And so by our speaking of this, by our mentioning this, it's as if we were there doing it. Now, they talk about the evil smelling spice, the chelbana. As we quoted Rabbi Kaplan saying, the incense consisted of 10 spices or perfumes with good fragrances, and an 11th spice, chelbana, galbanum, with a vile odor, which alludes to the elevation of evil back into the realm of the holy. It would be interesting to conjecture that chelbana, one of the 4 main ketoret spices listed in the Torah, corresponds to none other than carbon, one of the 4 primary elements found in the early universe, and along with oxygen, the most essential to support life. Rabbi Kaplan continues, following the idea of the 10 fragrant spices and the single unpleasant one, the Talmud in Keretot states, every communal fast that does not include sinners of Israel is not a fast. This is derived from the fact that the incense included chelbana galbanum. Just as the chelbana was necessary to give the other spices exactly the right fragrance, a congregation is not complete without someone who has also fallen and who must re-elevate himself through repentance. In particular, when a difficult punishment has been decreed against Israel because of some evil deed, this very evil must be taken and elevated. Thus, the idea of transforming evil by elevating it back to its source in holiness is intimated in the incense. It is for this reason also that a communal fast must include the sinners of Israel. Rabbi Kaplan goes on to speak about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He draws a parallel between their sin of eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the original shattering of the vessels. He says, but we will stop here for the moment and attempt to develop on some of the basic ideas already mentioned. In the remainder of this essay, we'll talk about the text of the Ketoret from the traditional Siddur, the prayer book, and then deepen our appreciation of it by bringing other biblical, rabbinical, and Kabbalistic texts to bear. So I'm going to take a break here, too. I know this is a lot of information, but, you know, like when I'm learning, you get what you get. You get what you're ready to get. So hopefully you can get you can get what's important for you to learn.
Yeah.
Rabbi Shlomo Carlbach, Kiva Moed from Days Are Coming. You're listening to The Voicemobile. I'm your host, Joyce the Voice, here at Tufts Medford. Signing up to be an organ donor is one of the most generous things you can do, especially when you consider that a single donor can potentially save 8 lives. Wow. That's 8 people who won't have to spend agonizing months or years on the transplant waiting list, who will get a second chance, all because you agreed to donate some body parts you won't be able to take with you anyway. To become an organ donor, register through your state agency. Locate your state registry on the organ donor website at organdonor.gov. Designate your choice to be an organ donor on your driver's license. I have done that. If you do not have a driver's license, print a donor card and carry it with you. This provides your legal consent to donate organs, eyes, and tissues for transplants. Fill out your advance directives, will, and living will. Include your organ donation. These legal documents speak for you when you are no longer able to speak for yourself. This has been a public service announcement from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Well, I know one of my friends is alive and thriving today in Israel. She needed a kidney transplant. It was a long, hard process, and then finally, somebody came forward. And thank God now there's another gentleman that I'm aware of in the Temple Shalom in Medford who is looking for a kidney. And you know, hopefully that he will be successful, and it's a very important thing. So I'm sharing some information from Avraham Sutton's book on the spiritual significance of the Ketoret, and as I said, a lot of this is quite technical. He is quoting in the text of the Siddur, the actual text says, God said to Moshe, take for yourself spices, balsam, ansha, galbanum, as well as other specified spices, and pure frankincense, equal amounts of each. Grind each spice separately, and then blend them together as a ketoret compound, the work of a master perfumer. As I said, that word in Hebrew is rokeach. And that's my father, that's our family name, Rokeach. Well blended, free of all impurity, and holy. Pulverize a small portion of the Ketoret daily and place it on the golden altar before the Ark of Testimony in the communion tent where I commune with you. It shall have the highest degree of holiness for you, from Exodus. It was also said Aaron must burn the Ketoret spices on the golden altar early each morning when he cleans the menorah lamps. He must also burn the Ketoret when he lights the lamps towards evening. It is a daily Ketoret offering before God throughout all your generations. So there's this connection between the Shemen and Ketoret. This is not the anointing oil, but it is oil. So they talk about how it's compounded. It contained 368 manna measures. 365 of those corresponded to the number of days in the solar year, one measure a day, half in the morning and half towards evening. The other three measures were those that the Kohen Gadol would bring into the Holy of Holies as a double handful on Yom Kippur. He would replace them in the mortar on the eve of Yom Kippur and re-grind them thoroughly to make the Ketoret compound extra fine. The Ketoret contained 11 spices. There were 70 measures each of the balsam, ansha, galbanum, and frankincense. There were 16 measures each of myrrh, cassia, spikenard, and saffron. There were 12 measures of costus, 3 measures of aromatic bark, and 9 measures of cinnamon. This is quite a formula. Also used to prepare some of the spices for the Ketoret were 9 kabin of karshina lye, 3 se'in, and 3 kabin of cypress wine. If cypress wine was not available, aged white wine wine could be used instead. There was a 4th of a cab of sodom salt and a small quantity of smoke-producing herb. Rabbi Nathan of Babylon says a minute quantity of Jordan amber was also added. If any kind of bee or fruit honey was added, the Ketoret was rendered unfit. If one omitted from or added to the original spices, he was liable to the death penalty. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, the balsam was simply the resin that drips from balsam trees. Why was karshina lye used? To rub the ancha to make it more pleasant. Why was cypress wine used? To soak the ancha to make it more pungent. Isn't water from the springs of Raglayim good for this? But it would have been disrespectful to bring water from the springs of Raglayim into the holy temple. So what's really going on here? I mean, this is really quite interesting. The fifth and sixth and seventh passages continue paying special attention to the names again of the different rabbis who are giving their understanding of the formulation. I'm not going to go into all that, but what I wanted to share with you, and I'm not finding it. Okay. The seventh and last passage, the God, ends with a prayer that our offering be pleasing and acceptable to God. We see that the Ketoret has the power to nullify the effects of Lashon Hara. That's what I wanted to share with you. Slander, evil speech. Here we will just point out that Torah and prayer, which is what the Siddur is made up of, Torah and prayer, that's meant here to be, those two, Torah and prayer, are meant to be the most powerful use of language for good. Sometimes it is so easy to say words, especially words that are not of our own and that we are told to recite, and to what degree they lack depth and meaning. But the secret of true prayer is to put yourself behind your words, to put oomph in your words, especially into words that have been spoken in purity for millennia. This elevates your thoughts and words into a true offering to God.
Moments from the depths of our holy city. Open up my, oy, open up, open up all your gates, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, let me in. Open up all your gates, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, let me in. Open up, open up, I've been searching for so long, when will we reach a city wall? Will I raise up my eyes to the heavens above? Dear Lord, we will never despair. Well, if I could only tell you just how beautiful it was, holy mountain with the light of all ages. Stone walls dance a flaming sense of blaze, evening skies, as if the heavens came down, great rejoicing. Well, if I could only tell you just how beautiful it was, holy mountain with the light of all ages. Stone walls dance a flaming sense of blaze, evening skies, as if the heavens came down, great rejoicing. Open up, open up, Yerushalayim, let me in. Open up all your gates, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, let me in. Open up, open up, taking a walk through our ancient city streets to see what could be found there. Well, the righteous of old contemplating his name, drawing light from his highest abode. Well, if I could only tell you just how awesome it was, like an orchard of trees and sweet fruits. Well, the word of holiness was heard all around, and the song of his unity abounds. Well, if I could only tell you just how awesome it was, like an orchard of trees and sweet fruits. Well, the word of holiness was heard all around. about. Open up, open up, open up all your gates, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, let me in. Open up all your gates, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, let me in. For how much you didn't know. Take a moment to dream of that ancient holy place where God's temple would soon stand once more. Well, if I could only tell you just how wondrous it was, a home that God calls the very own, where all men take refuge from east, west, far and wide. They were there, you'll be there, we'll all be there. Well, if I could only tell you just how wondrous it was at the home that God calls their home, where all men take refuge from east, west, far and wide. There with them, you'll be there, we'll all be there. Open up, open up, open up all your gates, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, let me in. Open up all your gates, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim, let me in. Open up, open up, open up all your gates, Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim. Open up, open up, open up, open up, open up. La 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 la.
That was so beautiful. Shlomo Yehuda Reinhartz, and that's Ki V'Simcha. And Yossi Rubin and David Fadida present Shlomo Yehuda Reinhartz, Adair Music. Chaim David Sirachik, from his Grateful and Alive from the Karlbach Shul CD, Open Up. And before that, Shlomo Karlbach, Days Are Coming, Kiva Moed. Well, we have a little bit of time left. I'm going to share a little bit more of this teaching from Avraham Sutton on the commemoration of my dad's passing 33 years ago, his Yahrzeit, the fourth night of Hanukkah. Tonight we light four candles. And, of course, that was very hard. And I know other people, you know, have things that have happened during Hanukkah as well. So you are still required to light the Hanukkah candles, and you have to find a way to somehow hold those two things at the same time. It's a real challenge. So there's a fellow colleague who was playing on the drums in the other studio, and it was really confusing me. I was really trying to figure out how to tell him, you know, it's like coming through. But I guess he didn't realize, so what can you do? Anyway, this is The Voice Mobile. I'm your host, Joyce The Voice, and my dad's name Irving Rokich or Rokeach, Yishmuel, Israel Shmuel, Ben Aryeh Lieb, for an Aliyah for his neshama. And reading from The Spiritual Significance of the Ketoret by Avraham Sutton, who lives in the Holy Land. So this is about teshuva and repentance. Details are never meant to obscure essence, but rather to give us vessels within which to receive essence. After seeing how much is involved in the Ketoret, and of course there are pages and pages of detail, all of which is a necessary preparation to get to the essence, We might tend to lose sight of the fact that a single thread runs throughout this entire discussion, from beginning to end. One way of grasping this thread is to contemplate the discussion we just saw. All right, there's a discussion about the different rabbis, when the manna of incense is to be offered each day of the year, how much incense, and so forth. The truth is, there are just two ways of looking at our lives. Should we see our lives on a large annual scale, or should we see them on a relatively tiny daily scale? Obviously, both have advantages and both are important. The essence is to live each day to the fullest, paying attention to all the ingredients that go into making them up. This includes seeing the ingredients that don't smell so good as an important part of life. Ooh. And then, when we get to Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur, we can look back on a year full of quote-unquote days. On Yom Kippur, our Ketoret will already have been ground. Beautiful. With our extra teshuvah, our extra repenting, returning, we will just grind it finer yet. Thus making sure that there is no admixture of evil that hasn't been processed and elevated back to its source. This is just incredibly beautiful. For this is the essence, isn't it? Teshuvah is the ability to restructure a new life and a new personality out of the raw material and even the broken pieces we were given to work with. With teshuvah, we can transform the greatest darkness into light, the most bitter experience into something sweet. I hope for all of us that we can do that. It's just reminding me, you know, I'm still reeling from the loss of my beautiful Simcha, my beautiful kitty. I just don't know how to process it yet. We saw above how powerful and far-reaching the aroma of the Ketoret was. It is also taught that the incredible aroma of the Ketoret was especially conducive to doing teshuvah. It is taught that whoever smelled the fragrance of the Ketoret when it was being burned on the golden altar would have thoughts of teshuvah. His heart would be purified of all evil thoughts and from the defilement of the evil urge. That's a quote from the Torah Anthology. The Ketoret was so powerful because the nature and amount of its ingredients were commanded to Moshe by God. This explains something else we saw above in the text of the Siddur, namely, that any admixture of fruit or bee honey into the Ketoret was forbidden. The first reason given is that nobody would have been able to stand the sweetness of its smell. If the aroma of the Ketoret was powerful without honey, how much more would it have been with it? But this reason is then followed by a scriptural verse in which it is explicitly stated, honey may not be offered as incense. The question is, why? Say that it is too powerful. Why not just bring the verse? In other words, even if it wasn't so powerful, the verse would prohibit it. So again, why bring a verse? We turn the page to see. So I asked this question of one of my first teachers, Rabbi Ephraim Asher Ruttenberg of blessed memory. He told me to pay attention to the words used in the text. First, Bar Kapara says, had even a minuscule amount of honey been added, natan, from the verse to place, to the Ketoret, no one could have resisted its fragrance. The question is then asked, why was no honey blended, ma'ar vim, from the verb to mix into it? The questioner understood that it was prohibited to add honey to the Ketoret in a way that it would be visible. He was merely asking why it couldn't be blended in unnoticeably. For this we need the verse, you may not burn any leaven or honey as a fire offering to God. It's from Leviticus. Leaven and honey both allude to pride. Leaven puffs our bread up with hot air. Honey as well, if cooked on a fire, bubbles and rises more than any other liquid. More than any other quality, puffed up pride prevents a person from recognizing his or her faults and returning in true and sincere teshuvah. Amazing. This is antithetical to what the Ketoret stands for. And he goes into more. Well, I hope that sharing a little bit of this was something that explained a little bit. I'll just share one more little piece about the mystery of the Ketoret. Above, Rabbi Kaplan quoted in the Talmud, which records a tradition that Moshe was taught the mystery of the Ketoret by none other than the angel of death. We learned that before. When Moshe ascended into the spiritual dimension to receive the Torah, even the angel of death transmitted something to him. It is written, he, Aaron, offered the Ketoret to atone for the people. He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was checked. If the angel of death himself had not taught Moshe that only the Ketoret has the power to overcome death, how else could he have known? That means that the very existence of evil, including that of the angel of death, is maintained only by virtue of the sparks of holiness which it holds bound in its power. As we shall see, it is through the misuse of the power of speech, Lashon Hara, literally evil tongue, that evil is given its power. As the Zohar above is taught, however, it is the Ketoret that can counteract this. The mystery of the Ketoret is its power to release these sparks and allow them to become elevated back to their source in holiness. All right, so that's where I'm going to leave it. That's why we say those prayers in the Siddur. Hopefully now you'll look at them a little bit. And we have a little bit more, to share. I think. Let's see. What do I want here? I think I want. No. Like the world to come. That's not the right one. I think I want. Oh goodness. Jarvi Daffy, oh, I will sing with praises. Well, I'm not sure which CD track I've got going here. It's one of these. Probably this one. Here we go.
Man bin ich an der Ding, mein Ruch in ihm und auf הדוז הגנס ויאל החדוד ארתם נהורה
Chag Sameach, Orim V'Simcha, Happy Hanukkah.
Due to COVID-19, WMFO DJs are pre-recording their shows for broadcast on air. We can still accept phone calls, but the phone line is in voicemail mode. Call 855-915-9636 and be sure to leave the DJ's name in the voicemail so we can forward it to the correct person. The following program was recorded earlier. Enjoy.